Chapter 23. The world was back on his schedule. He had just put in his application at Big D Caterers and had no doubt he would be getting the call to come in for his orientation any day now. He was best at killing, but he had other skills too. Lying, for instance. He was a good liar. He knew how to fill out a job application so that he would look good for a job without looking too good for it. You never want to be perfect. You want to be just good enough. It was harder for some jobs than others. For a catering job, you basically needed to have a pulse and the ability to lift a heavy tray. He'd passed that test easily enough in spite of his now balky arm and shoulder, though the hard-faced woman who'd put him through his paces had been skeptical. He knew she would be. They always were, women especially. Perhaps that was why he enjoyed hurting them the way he did. He turned his attention away from that preoccupation to the barbecue on the brown-papered metal tray before him. He pinched off a bark-covered chunk of beef rib. As advertised, it fairly melted in his mouth. After that, he sliced off a piece of hot link. The unexpected smokiness of it was almost as welcome as the taste of the meat itself. He washed that down with a too dainty sip of his Shiner Bock, and then went for a forkful of coleslaw. He had been in Texas before, had killed in Texas before. A drug dealer's mistress in El Paso, El Asshole, he thought and laughed to himself. Had to be dealt with because the dealer was getting paranoid about her going to the DEA. He had enjoyed that aspect of his visit, leaving parts of his victim out in the scrub for the coyotes after he was done with her. The food sucked. Everything but the killing sucked. Then there was the time in Houston he'd been hired to make an heir to an oil fortune look like he'd committed suicide by taking a dive out the window of his hotel suite. The food was an improvement. The work was not. He had two other places at which to put in applications, but he was enjoying his food far too much to rush back out into the midday heat and baking sun. Dallas was like an inferno. He'd heard someone at the train station call it a dry heat. Yeah, so is sticking your head in an oven. People were such morons. He smiled his smile, his smug, superior smile, the one dripping with self-congratulation and contempt and loathing for everyone else. He liked the way that smile felt on his unremarkable face and the way it made him feel inside. He was luxuriating in the taste of his food, the pleasing cold tang of his beer, and the feel of his smile when an impatient-looking blonde pulled out the chair across from him at the two-top table. She was pretty enough, he guessed, if you liked your blue-eyed women in gray business suits and white silk blouses, with too much makeup and too much hairspray. "Do you mind?" she asked, without a hint of sincerity in her voice, and sat without bothering to wait for his answer. "The place is so damn crowded today, and I've got to get back to the office in 15 minutes. Of course he minded. He minded everything about her, from her looks to her manner. He minded her presence. A smile disappeared from his face. He knew her all right. Or rather, he knew her type. The pretty girls who took one look at him and thought he'd get excited just to have a woman like her sit in close proximity. She probably thought he'd ask her permission to take a selfie with her. He grunted at her, not wanting to draw attention to himself. He had to keep his focus on his reason for being in Dallas in the first place, that other blonde. But when she pushed her tray into his, and his tray knocked the remainder of his Shiner Bock onto his lap, it was difficult to just grunt and ignore it. Damn it! He jumped out of his seat, pressing a wad of paper towel onto the spreading wet spot covering his crotch. Oh, I'm so sorry, she said with that same lack of sincerity. She almost sounded annoyed at him. Look what you did! Then she got indignant. I said I was sorry, didn't I? He opened his mouth to say something threatening, but realized that about half the restaurant was now turned his way. Many of the women were pointing at his wet pants, giggling, covering their mouths. Men shook their heads at him. Poor, ugly little fella. Never mind, he said to the blonde. That's all right. It'll dry off outside in a few minutes. But instead of smiling at him or nodding her pretty head or apologizing again, she pulled out her cell phone and began tapping away. He picked up his beer bottle, placed it on the tray, threw the wad of paper towels onto the wet floor, and took his tray over to the garbage. He turned back to look at her, but she'd already forgotten he existed. She had probably forgotten the second she laid eyes on him. He stepped through the doors of the barbecue joint and back onto the furnace-like streets of Deep Ellum. Walking back to his stolen Civic, he tried desperately to forget the blonde and the quickly drying spot on the front of his pants. He couldn't forget, though. He just couldn't. So when he got into the sweltering Honda, he drove over to the barbecue restaurant and parked where he could see the entrance. He parked, and he waited. He would make her remember him. He would make it so that he was the only thing she would remember. Him and the pain.